Hallelujah. Well, stand up with me if you would. Amen. Are we ready, Terry? I think I got it on, don't I? Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise His mighty name. Father, we love You this morning. We praise You. We magnify You. We glorify You. Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite You, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of Your people. You are El Elyon, the Most High God, and there is only one like You. And Father, we just ask that Your presence, Your anointed presence here, would destroy the yoke of sickness and disease and pain, would destroy the yoke of discouragement and oppression this morning, Lord God. And Father, when we leave here this morning, may the joy of the Lord be our strength. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not always that time. Seeking You from mine. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If You're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head.
highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Who is free. Grace runs deep.
your. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, the prodigal return. In Jesus, thank God the yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. No stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. Is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I'm now washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man, break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. Is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I'm been washed by the blood. Come on, sing. Is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone.
Even when I can't see if you're working.
Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and magnify you. Father, let it rain. Send your spirit, Lord God. Pour out the former and the latter rain, Lord God. Bring in the harvest, Father. Oh, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning for what you've done and what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. We thank you, Father, that when we place this seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you will multiply it. You will use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. We bless you. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise. Hallelujah. God been good to anybody? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I don't know where to start this morning. Well, I'll tell you where we start. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, last couple weeks, we've read out of Psalms 82. Psalms 82 speaks about the divine counsel of God, that God sets in the midst of this divine counsel, these supernatural beings that God has created. We read this morning in Sunday school the parallel in Ezekiel 28, the parallel between the king of Babylon and his arrogance and his pride and the coming destruction that was upon him. And then all of a sudden Ezekiel switches from an earthly parable. I said king of Babylon, king of Tyre. And all of a sudden he switches from a physical king over to a supernatural being, and he lets us know that this supernatural being is being judged by God. That's what Psalm 82 says. It says that God will judge these his divine counsel when they sin. Amen. So here's what you have in the garden. You have God in Eden. You have his divine counsel in Eden. And you have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen? You with me? There's peace on earth. Right? There's peace on earth until that one called the serpent. Right? Here, let's read it here in verse 13. It says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed.'" And by the way, that word, her seed, seed there, is in the singular form. You know, I can say I got a whole bag of seed, right? And I got, if they're small enough, I can have millions of seeds in a bag. Or I can say I have a seed, one seed. And in this particular case, in the Hebrew form of this word seed is singular. Her seed is singular, meaning only one. One particular seed is going to crush your head. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to get. I don't really believe that this is, and I went in Sunday school, we went to great lengths to tell you that this is more than likely not a snake in Genesis. but a divine being that we call Lucifer. All right, now, come to my board, will you? Come to my board, and I'll let you in on a secret. In Hebrew, the word nakash is snake. You see these three Hebrew letters, right? And you translate it as serpent or snake. But, wait a minute. We've got the same three Hebrew letters, but we've added a little dot here, a little vowel symbol. Oh, so we say it nokesh. And nokesh means a diviner or an oracle, someone who practices soothsaying. Okay? Which, by the way, Leviticus 19, God gave them a prohibition. You can't be practicing this magic. Okay? But then if we get down here, it's the same. You see the same three-letter roots. But we add another letter, and we still got our vowel for O, and we say it nokeshet, which means bronze or copper or shining. Okay? So here's what I'm getting at. This being in the garden, was he not an oracle? Did he not speak as if he was speaking for God to Eve? Huh? Was he not tricking her, deceiving her? Yes. How many know the devil from day one has that's all he's ever done to mankind is deceive them? And we're going to talk about one of those deceptions. But when we read about him, in as the Prince of Tyre in Ezekiel 28, he's also shining, right? He is brilliant. In Ezekiel 28, right? That king of Tyre. He is brilliant. He's made with all these beautiful gems. So he is brilliant. All right, now. Man, I've already preached to you so much this morning in Sunday school. It's all right. Some of you weren't here. So here we've got the divine counsel of God, right? And everybody's cool. Everybody's hanging out with God. Everything's fine. Until God goes over and brings all of his tension, all of his divine counsel, and puts it on this glorified spitball. And then he breathes life into that spitball, and that was man. And then from man, he took a rib out, and he fashioned. You ladies will like this. In Hebrew, when it says that God made woman, the idea is that God artistically created and fashioned you in just a particular way. Amen? So that it would catch man's eye. Just saying, okay? God loved man enough that he made you all beautiful. See? I think that's a good deal. So anyway, now this divine counsel that we talked about in Sunday school, now God is focused on something else. Man. And like we said in Sunday school, now this one member of the divine council who has been made more beautiful than anything else that seems to have got special attention in creation because he's the anointed cherub above the throne of God, according to Ezekiel 28. Now he sets his sight on this object of God's love and God's tenderness, man. He's got to eliminate man. Remember we said that in Sunday school? So if he can con Eve into sinning, God will have to put him, because God is just, God will have to put man outside his presence or outside the Garden of Eden. Amen. And God did exactly like that. The plan worked to perfection. Because God did separate man from his presence and placed him outside the Garden of Eden. However, what he failed to realize was that God was going to cast him down to the ground, which is a metaphor for the underworld. Ezekiel 28 tells us that he's cast down into the under parts of the earth with the dead warrior kings that went ahead of him. Amen? He's down there with the dead. In Ezekiel 28 and also Isaiah 14 tells us that. All right, now. So this place called the Garden of Eden now is messed up. It's really messed up. It's a place that man was created to be in the presence of God. And now that man is outside that presence. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think that since man has been placed outside the garden, that man has always had an inner longing for that place of utopia? Amen. That place where everything's good. And see, we've got this new thing going on in America. It's not new to the rest of the world, but it's definitely new to America. It's called democratic socialism. Sounds good. Universal income. Universal health care. Man, it sounds really good. Universal education. And it's starting to sound really good. But you know what? It's not something new to the rest of the world. From Vladimir Lenin to Fidel Castro, they pitched this idea of a utopia. Free stuff. However, history tells us that it's not free. What it does is it robs us of our freedom. Amen. So, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. That socialism, it sounds so good. Equality for everybody. Universal income, health care, education. But it always ends up in the loss of freedom and dictatorship. Why? Amen. Because man is evil in his heart away from God. Amen? So turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Well, come on, Jeremiah. Here we are. Let's look at verse 19. The children of Israel have begun to backslide away from God. They've been starting to worship pagan gods. And let's pick it up in verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. Now watch what he says. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. I guess go all the way back. When God brought them out of Egypt, after that Passover lamb was eaten, and the death angel passed by, and the next morning they left Egypt, the Bible tells us that they had the wealth of the Egyptians heaped upon them. And God brought them to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God didn't tell them to sacrifice a burnt offering. He didn't tell them to offer up these sacrifices and eat the meat. He simply told them, watch, here's what he told them, verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. God didn't tell them you need to go offer up sacrifices. He simply said, obey me. Remember what happened to Sinai? He told Moses, clean them all up. You and Aaron, get them all cleaned up. Get them scrubbed up. Get their best Sunday go-to meeting clothes on them. Because tomorrow you're coming up to the mountain. You're coming up the mountain to be in my presence. And what happened? There was thundering. There was lightning. That mountain was shaking with the presence of God. And they said, you know what, Moses? Tell you what. You go up. You listen to him. You come back and tell us. And we'll do everything he commanded. So Moses went up. Moses goes up to Sinai. He's up there with God. God's given him the Decalogue. He's given him his commands, the Ten Commandments. He's up there with God. Well, in the meantime, they decide to do what? Build a golden calf. Now that they've built the golden calf, see, when Moses comes, think about this. Moses comes down off that mountain. Moses has got the Ten Commandments. And I believe it's the first one says, have no other gods before you and not to make any graven images. Amen. Well, strike one and two. Amen. He's got it in his hand. It's hot off the press. Think about that. He's got Ten Commandments. That's all he's got. That's all God had instructed him at Sinai. You give them this. You tell them to obey my voice. But guess what? They already failed. Now, God gives him. He brings Moses up and he gives him. He ends up giving Moses the Torah. He ends up giving Moses the oral law. And he ends up giving them the priesthood and the sacrificial system. Because now, because you wouldn't be obedient, now we've got to have sacrifices. Because we've got to have that atonement for sins. But don't you think for a minute that God was surprised? He wasn't surprised. He wasn't surprised with Adam and Eve in the garden. Didn't catch him off guard. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Old Slewfoot, that serpent, that symbol of evil. And make no mistake, Satan is evil. And he has an evil hatred for you and I because we have been made in the image and the likeness of God. Amen. Why do you think he seeks to destroy men? And socialism. That utopia. That's old. That goes clear back to Nimrod trying to make that first utopia. We're going to build us a tower all the way to God. We're going to be like the Most High God. God said, I don't think so. And God stopped it. Amen. So, now, with that said, I want you to turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. He is evil. Maybe I won't keep you long. Maybe I will. Numbers 21. I'm going the wrong way. We're going to start in verse 4. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, the devil thought that because God is just, they would have to die. And certainly, with their sin, death entered the realm of humanity. But it didn't happen. I don't believe it happened like the devil thought it would happen, that God would just eliminate him right now. Something died, an animal. We read in Genesis 3, an animal was slain, and that blood was shed because for the remission or the atonement of Adam and Eve's sins. And so they were covered by that sacrifice. But now the children of Israel are in the desert. They've been disobedient to God. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Why would they want to go around the land of Edom? Those are Esau's descendants. That was Esau's name, Edom. It means red. So they don't want anything. The children of Jacob's descendants, they don't want to go around the Edomites, because the Edomites have been told all their life what a dirty, rotten scoundrel old Jacob, his descendants are. So they're going around Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents. There's that serpent, that Nahash again. Sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moshe and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Bronze in the biblical text is normally a symbol of judgment. So God has Moses. Now listen, he has Moses make this bronze serpent and put it on a pole and hold it up and have everybody look at this symbol of judgment. And everybody that looks on this symbol of judgment, and by the way, it's a serpent, it's a symbol of evil. Why do I have to look at this evil and the symbol of judgment to live? I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Oh, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. We're going to start in verse 1. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He's seen him heal leprosy. He's seen him and heard about him opening those blind eyes that they believe, you know, an eye that was born blind. They believed only Messiah could do. Man, he resurrected somebody that had been dead more than 3 days. They believed only the Messiah could do that. But Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's got to protect his status. So he comes sneaking in at night. "Tell me, Rabbi," verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" See, he's thinking in the natural. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now Nicodemus should have understood this. Being a good Pharisee, you know, there were several different ways that the ancient Jews use the term born again. Like when somebody got married, they dipped in the water before they got married. They're born again, starting a new life. Okay? So, and there was like seven different things that, you know, they were referred to as being born again. And so Nicodemus should have known that. But, you know, after all, he's protecting his status and he's sneaking around, so maybe he's not thinking real clear. All right? And Jesus said, I'm going to read verse 6 again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus said, in order to see, in order to enter that supernatural realm of the Spirit, that kingdom of God, also known as the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must be willing to start a new life. You're going to be born again. But guess what, Nicodemus? You've seen people do it here in the natural, where you get baptized in water because you're going to be married. You're about to be born again. You're starting a new life. But I'm telling you, Nicodemus, you got to be born again in the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of heaven. And what does John the Baptist preach when he comes? When he comes out of the wilderness with camels, repent. Repent why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How am I born again, Nicodemus? I'm born again upon repentance and allowing the Spirit of God to wash me and cleanse me with the blood of Messiah. Amen. Amen. Now I'm entering the kingdom of God. Now I can see the kingdom of God. Now I'm in that supernatural realm. Somebody say amen or oh me. Let's keep going here. We're not done. We haven't got to the serpent on the pole yet. He says in verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let's stop there. They looked at the bronze or the brass serpent in the wilderness, and they lived. And Jesus said, he is about to be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we don't have to look at a bronze serpent, evil. We just have to believe in Messiah in our heart. Amen? All right, stay with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let me say something to you about the leaders of this democratic socialism. Karl Marx. There's a lot I could say about him. None of it is good. Some of it is worse. I read a really, really well-written article about 2 months ago about Karl Marx. Now remember, Karl, he's kind of the leader of this socialist movement. Okay? He's kind of the, not the leader, he's kind of the apostle to these modern day socialists. Karl Marx was an atheist. And in the article I read, it made a really, really good case. I mean, excellent case that Karl Marx worshiped the devil. So one of the things that they're not telling you about this modern day democratic socialism is most of the leadership, if not all, are atheists. It's anti-God because it's anti-freedom and it's anti-mankind. It sounds good, but it goes all the way back to their father, the devil, who told Eve, "Oh, you're not going to die. You'll be like God, or you'll be like the B'nai Elohim. You'll be like the sons of God." Sounds good. Sounds good, but Eve, you gave up an awful lot. See, I didn't coin this phrase. Rob Parsley did. Back when he was young and preached with fire and vigor. I used to listen. I used to be able to preach every sermon he preached. Yeah. Almost word for word. But one day he said, "The old devil will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Make you pay a whole lot more than you're willing to pay." Yeah. Amen. Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light." Can I tell you something? If that doesn't fit what's going on in America today with the news media, with our government, they do not want to shed any light on anything. They want to keep everything shadowed and keep the people in darkness. And they will feed them what they want to hear. I'm worried. I'm concerned about Americans. Because our faith and hope is not in a donkey or an elephant. It should be in God and God alone. Amen. There'll not be a utopia here on the earth until the Prince of Peace comes. You can promise me free stuff, but you know, you all know and I know nothing is free. Amen. I'm sure I've told this to you as long as I've been here. I had that young man in my car one day. Phone rang. I said, "Man, where'd you get that phone?" Because his family's, you know, pretty poor. I know they didn't have, you know, extra money for him to have a cell phone. He said, "Oh, that's an Obama phone. That's a free phone." I said, "It ain't free." "Yeah, it didn't cost me nothing." I said, "There's no, it's not free." And I give him that economics lesson when we stopped. We went to McDonald's. I got a napkin out. I said, "You know, you're 14. Here when you're 16, you'll be trying to get a job. Let's just say," and I wrote $1,000 down there. "Let's just say your first check, you make you gross $1,000. What's gross mean?" I said, "That's the total money you earn. That's not the money you get to take home and spend, but that's the total money you earn." And I said, "You being single and all, they're probably going to take $250 to $300 in federal taxes. And then they're going to take, you know, some more state taxes. And then the city of Jackson's going to get their little piece of the pie. And there's this guy you've never met called FICA. You know? He's going to get some too." And I said, "You being single and everything, you might make $1,000, but you only get to spend $600. "Well, that ain't fair." I said, "Exactly. But it's those taxes they took out of your check that pay for your phone." He said, "You're right, it's not free." That's what I'm trying to tell you. It ain't free. There ain't nothing free. This modern day American democratic socialism is a lie from the pit of hell. It is in order to deceive and take captive God's people.
Amen.
That's all it is. I'm going to tell you. For me to be able to preach like I'm preaching right now, in 6 months, it might be illegal. You say, oh, that never happened in America. Really? Really? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Because that's what happens when you talk about a utopia, you talk about a socialism, and you get everybody buying in, and the next thing you know, you've got a dictatorship, and you're losing your freedom. And when you lose that freedom of speech, you also lose that freedom of religion. Amen? Because they are atheists. They don't believe in God. All right, let me keep reading here because I got to point something out to you. For everyone practicing evil, verse 20, hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Or they've been done in the sight of God. I remember one time a preacher told me, he said, man, I seen a good movie. Out of Jackson, we first moved out there. It was a good movie, but you know, you probably ought not go see it in Jackson because you know, you probably wouldn't want any church folk to see you in that movie. I said, what? I said, I don't care about church folk. I do care about God. Church folk can't send me to hell. God can. He don't want to, but I keep rebelling. But that just showed me, the lack of respect and awe of the creator of the universe. And what we're seeing in America today is a lack of awe for God. But let's get back to that serpent on the pole. Moses held that serpent, that brass serpent on the pole, a symbol of judgment. And they had a snake on it, a symbol of evil. And Jesus says, just like that serpent in the wilderness, and Moses held up that serpent, that picture of judgment, that picture of evil, one of these days I'm going to be raised up. And whoever believes in me will have eternal life.
Amen.
Because Jesus was raised up on a cross at Calvary. He was the judgment of God. And he bore upon his body the penalty of sin. And he carried all evil upon himself at that cross at Calvary for you and I.
Amen.
And politicians can't save you.
Amen.
Only God can save you. And that only comes through his son. But let me get back to Jesus real quick. Jump over to, you're in John. Let's do this real quick. Let's go to John 8. John 8, 44. Because I want to leave you on a high note. I got you headed that way right now. But I got to leave you on a high note. All right. John 8, verse 44. Jesus says, well, let's go to verse 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendant. But you seek to kill me. He's talking to Pharisees who said, we are the descendants of Abraham. Okay? Because my word has no place in you. They're trying to kill him because his word has no place in him. I speak what I have seen with my father. And you do what you have seen with your father. Oh, it's starting to heat up now. Because Jesus just says, I speak what I see of Avi, my father. See, the Pharisees, the rabbis, they would have never referred to God as Avi, my father, but Jesus did. You can. You can because you've been born again. He is your father. You are a child of the living God. He says, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. The old boys are getting, they're gripping the seat in front of them. They're holding on. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lack of want to hear truth in America today. Whew. I don't mean to pick on America. Let's keep going. You do the deeds of your... Now it's going to get really hot up in that synagogue. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, well, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Oh, man, now they're referring to the virgin birth. Well, they didn't believe in a virgin birth. They figured Mary was out, you know, Mary and Joseph was out fornicating, having sex outside of wedlock. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. There is a lack of willingness in America today to hear God's word or even to do God's word. Just saying. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. They're not happy campers at this point. He didn't make them feel all warm and fuzzy. He said, you are of your father, the devil, because he is a what? A liar. All right? Now, let's go over here. Go backwards to Matthew 23. He's going to talk to the same group again. Matthew 23. You go read the whole chapter of Matthew 23 later. These religious folks, he didn't have... much need of them. In verse 31, we'll just read this one verse. I think that's where I want to go. 23:31. I better go 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites are actors. You hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? So you see how Jesus uses that term serpent, nahas? He's describing evil. John the Baptist does the same thing in Matthew 3 when he's out there preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and some of the Pharisees and religious leaders come out, and John the Baptist calls them a brood of vipers because they were evil. The serpent is a symbol of evil. And up on that pole, that symbol of judgment, all evil was on that pole. And Jesus took the penalty for that evil upon himself. Amen. Now, let's go over to 1 John. 1 John real quick. We got to get to that high note. 1 John chapter 3. This is not John 1. This is 1 John. It's in the back. You know, I'd really like to read the whole thing, but let's go to verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him There is no sin. Whoever abides in him, talking about Jesus, does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. What does righteousness mean? How do you practice righteousness? Doing the right thing. Doing what is right according to the word of God.
Amen.
Especially when nobody's watching. Number 8, verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, now watch, hold on to your hats. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Why? Why did Jesus have to hang on that cross? Why did he have to represent that brass serpent in the wilderness? In order to destroy the works of Satan.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Well, it's time to take communion. With that fresh in mind, come on, Deborah Lane, that's me and you serve communion today. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name.